Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is the Starburns audio. I'm thrown already because I feel like the delay is really weird. But whatever, I'll keep going. This is the Starburns audio produced podcast that has been called My New Favorite Podcast by Ryan Calderon on iTunes. If you have a 5-star review, leave it on iTunes. We'll read it on the air. Also, if you want to be a friend of Charlquan, Charlquan's a little alien friend of ours, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get 2 bonus episodes a week. I want to read more about this because this is an instructional 5-star review, Willie.
Oh, so snap.
Take notes.
Okay.
Make more episodes on the true age of the Sphinx, ancient cycles of civilization, coronal mass ejections, and the conspiracy surrounding the old guard of Egyptologists refusing to update history. It's a demand. We got to do it.
Okay.
Coronal mass ejections sounds like something you do in the bathroom.
If you have an eye infection and you have to take a big shit,
you just shit it right out of your eye.
If you squeeze too hard, you get extra stuff blowing out of your eyeballs.
I don't like the term mass ejection. I don't know if there could be a positive mass ejection connotation. Oh man, you should have seen the mass ejection that I just got. All right, let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF our good friend, my brother-in-law, Blue River Grimes.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. All the way from Colorado, the magic of the internet. This pandemic has opened us up to new experiences, right?
Yeah, we stopped doing internet episodes because the delay just can make the episode kind of a chore because everyone's taking turns to tell jokes and when you realize everyone's stepping on each other. But that's just the way we have to do it now. So bear with us. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Dude, I can't believe I didn't think of this on the bonus, but I had another pitch meeting today and I was so fucking delayed. I swear to God, it was like 30 seconds. I would wait for someone to stop talking. I would start talking, be like 2 sentences in, and then see them continuing to talk.
Oh gosh.
But I would just have to keep talking because I know that in the future that they live in, I've started talking and now they're listening to me. So I had to just keep talking. Yeah. And then every time I'd be like, God damn it. I'm sorry. Fuck. It's awful. It was awful. So anyway, Blue, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Hanging in there.
Good. So you were just on the show when you were out here. I can't.
That was less than a year ago. That was last fall, right?
I think it was October. Yeah, I think it was October sometime.
We were in the backyard of the place that you guys were renting out. That was fun. I don't remember the topic.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it was the one that we always talked about in high school. If the aliens are us from the future.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that was fun. That was a good one.
So we've done the Wascow. Do you remember we're going to do it again, but do you remember your grade at all? It's from 0 to 5. 0 means you're a Wade. 5 means you're a Willie.
Yeah. I felt like I was more of a Willie that time. I don't know what my number was though.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's do a, let's do a speed round. Wascow.
Wow scale. Are you a Wed or are you a Willie?
Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, I believe in aliens. Yes, I think they visited Earth. And yes, in the last 300 years. You know what? Can I change my answer? I think I want to say Just because of the way that question is phrased.
You're giving your answer. You haven't finished giving your answer.
No, I want to change it. I was filled with anticipation because I almost had a mass ejection because you came on with the question and you said it was like a zip round or something. So I thought I had to answer right away. So I'm going
to
say,
you do have to answer right away. You have to answer when I'm done asking.
Okay. No, no to all three of those.
Wait, what? 100? Wait, 180? I don't understand. Now you have to explain.
Because I thought the way you phrase the question is like, you know, like a humanoid type, you know, a dude that travels around and visits Earth, and he's like, "Hey, it's me. I'm an alien, and I'm here." And then, you know, no one sees him or whatever, and then he leaves. And that was within the last.
I see what you're saying. You're saying that like you could believe that some kind of organism exists and ended up on Earth, but wasn't consciously choosing to visit Earth.
Sure. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. A conscious decision to come visit. I don't think that exists.
I don't know what you're talking about. The only thing I said was, do you believe in aliens?
No, you asked me three questions.
Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
All right, that's a good way to phrase it. That's probably what you said in the first
place. That's the exact same. I say it the same way every time.
I believe in aliens. I don't think they visited Earth. So obviously not in the past 300 years.
Okay. Ghosts. You believe in ghosts?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Bigfoot. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No, I don't.
Psychics?
No. I think psychics are just very perceptive people.
What are you giving us the light, Willie? What was that?
Yeah, I'm trying out my little. I use my cell phone light on my computer sometimes.
That's your 20. It's your 20-second light.
Superstitions.
Am I superstitious? Yes.
I think the question is just superstitions, and I want to see where you go with it.
But not as much as I used to be. I used to be really very superstitious, but now not so much. That's it.
Okay, let's see. So you said yes, no, no, no. So you're like a one. A one or a two. I am superstitious. Willie isn't. So it's that's the
I'm not.
Right?
Huh. That's the weird.
That is weird. Can you give me one example of how you're superstitious?
If I said, like, thank God my dad's still alive, I would have to knock on wood because I don't want him to die, because he'll die if I don't knock on wood.
Okay, that's pretty good.
All right, Willie. I'm going to run over to my coffee table and grab something, but in the meantime, why don't you tell us what we're talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. Commercializing the solar system. Can we give up the rights to mining the moon? Mining asteroids? Can a company beat us to Saturn and own it? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
All right, cool. Let's do the real life.
Real life.
It's April 9th right now, right? On Monday of whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
April 6th. April 6th, U.S. President Donald Trump signed. What?
No, go on.
The fuck is going on?
When you said April 6th, I thought you were saying that this Sunday is April 6th. I'm like, no, dude, it's past that. So
no, Monday, April 6th, President Donald Trump signed an executive order. It's a fucking weird time to be doing that. We're in the middle of a pandemic, but his mind is on space. Executive order encourages mining of resources on the moon and asteroids. Quote, Americans should have the right to engage. Should I do my Trump? I don't know if I do it. Someone do a Trump and get me in Trump.
We choose to go to the moon.
That's Kennedy, man.
I know. I have to God do Kennedy. It. I have to do Kennedy to get to Trump.
Show your process. Let's see it. Let's hear it.
We choose to go to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. Many, many cheeseburgers. Many, many. Then you turn into an asshole. You take Kennedy and turn him into an asshole. That's how you get to Trump. And you use your hands. This.
Don't interrupt his process.
Oh, fuck. I mean, basically, I just got to hear it, and then I can mimic it. I can't do it from scratch.
Got it in your own head, man.
Okay, I'll just do it. Okay, Americans should have the right. Fuck, I can't do it either. Mine's just a bunch of fart noises. I fucking hate him. Here's the thing. The reason I hate Trump is not because of his politics or anything. It's because he's that fucking boss that we've all had who will just admonish you for the smallest reasons. And yeah. So you hate the sight of him. Like, he's such a fucking dick. Did you see him like lay into that reporter? He was like, when did that person come into office? And the reporter was like, oh, the previous administration. And he went like, oh, the previous administration. I can't believe you're throwing that in my face. And it's just like, dude, I'm answering your question. Like, you're a fucking psychopath.
Yeah, yeah.
Americans should have the right to, this is Trump. Americans should have the right to engage in commercial exploration, recovery, and use of resources in outer space consistent with applicable law. This is bonkers. It's like fucking crazy. Like, why is this what he's doing? Russia's mad.
Yeah.
The Kremlin said any kind of attempt to privatize space in one form or another would be unacceptable. It's so fucking dumb. Okay, so basically, yeah, so we're gonna fucking go mine with all the shit that's happening, we're just gonna go mine the moon. What even is it? It's cheese, right?
Will you read that first part again? What is this order, executive order or whatever that he signed?
You didn't hear about this? Okay, so Trump signed an executive order. Let me go to the actual. By the authority vested in me and president of the Constitution, as president by the Constitution, blah, 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 space policy directive. Commercial partners will participate in an innovative and sustainable program headed by the United States to lead the return of humans to the moon for long-term exploration and utilization, followed by human missions to Mars and other destinations. That's
don't fucking mix that shit into there. Okay.
Oh, here it is. And other celestial bodies will require partnership with commercial entities to recover and use resources, including water and certain minerals in outer space.
I love the idea of mining water.
Signed an executive agreement.
Yeah.
On a, when we live on a planet filled with water. Go on.
So I get it. Okay.
So basically, he signed an executive order that said, like, hey, we're going to go to space and we're just going to start fucking tarnishing it the way that we've done with this planet.
And why are the Russians pissed? Is he saying, like, I called it.
The Russians are pissed because space was previously thought of as sort of everyone's. And this is kind of like the U.S. saying, oh, hey, we're going to go fucking start taking shit. So
it's like Antarctica, right? Good luck. At some point, a lot of nations got together and said, hey, nobody can own Antarctica. It's people can't live here, but also it's a fragile environment. So the idea was nobody can own this because nobody does own it. And owning it might ruin that environment. I mean, that's the ideal version of it, where it's like, if somebody were to purchase Antarctica, they would move in enough stuff to like ruin the existence of that environment, right? I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know how true that is either, but I'm just saying that like the idea was is that space can't be owned by a nation because it's beyond nations. It is.
Well, basically, we have no right to do this. Like, it's not been agreed upon, right? So we're just basically saying, like, hey, fuck you. We're going to go, like, drill on the moon and shit like that and, like, stop us if you can. And so other people are like, what?
And Russia's extra pissed off at us because in 1967 in America, we signed the Outer Space Treaty. And there are 109, as of 2019, there are 109 nations that signed it, including 23 more that are waiting to be recognized on the signature. But basically saying that, like,
I got it right here. 1979 agreement governing the activities of states on the moon and other celestial bodies establishes the legal framework for nation states concerning the recovery and use of space resources.
So that was in 79. There was one also in 67, but basically there's a couple treaties that we've signed that said, hey, you can't go into space and take it. Because here's the problem with that is, first person to space.
Well, okay, we're talking about two different things because, hang on. We're talking about two different things because we never signed the 1979 agreement.
Okay, that's good to know.
Just FYI.
We signed the 67 one. But I mean, here's the thing is that, like, yeah, first one to space gets to own everything. The biggest issue that I have with this happening now is that the way that Trump enacted the Space Force was very, I think it was a tell, because the Air Force was offended because they have a Space Force called the Space Force. They have a branch that deals with space.
They got their own logo and everything. It's super cool.
We're not supposed to weaponize space, and that's what is secretly going on here. So now, even though we've signed this treaty, even though we didn't sign the other one, we're just telling the world that, hey, we're going to go to the moon. We're going to go to asteroids. We can go to planets, and we are going to start mining.
Okay. Why are you announcing that? Why are we announcing that? Why wouldn't I like the Antarctica comparison. Like, that makes all kinds of sense to me, Willie. So if I wanted to, you know, go do stuff on Antarctica, I just wouldn't tell anybody. I'd just go do it.
Right. That has happened. There are like at least 20 countries that are in Antarctica right now doing quote unquote science tests.
Yeah. So, but if I did that, if I was a leader, led a country or whatever, and I go and went and did that, then I could get in big trouble because there's like official documentation and, you know, treaties or whatever, that say, hey, that's a no-no, you can't go do that. But you're saying there's something that we signed in 67 or something, and then something else that came around in the 70s that a bunch of people signed.
So the 67 was called the Treaty on Principles Governing the Activities of States in the Exploration and Use of Outer Space, including the Moon and other celestial bodies, which is what Willie's talking about.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, then that's stupid to blatantly defy that, right? And not try to negotiate any terms whatsoever.
Here's a question that I have.
If you defy it, then just go do it. Don't tell anybody.
We had the technology to harness plasma from the sun, which I believe aliens are doing, but let's say we figured it out. Maybe we reverse engineered a UFO and we figured it out. I definitely feel like secret organizations are going to do that without asking anybody. But my take is, I think that that's illegal because you owe it to humanity to share that with everyone. And so the weird rat race that's going on with me, the reason why this is a big issue to me is because this is Trump allowing, and I'm blaming him, he's allowing corporations to legally do their illegal bullshit. this is all just like when he says Americans can go into space and mine the moon, there's probably only three companies that have the capabilities of doing that. And so those three companies probably gave him kickbacks or are giving him something, because he's making it okay for just those three companies to do it. You know, I don't know that I don't know how logistically correct that is, that three companies, but I'm saying like, there's only a few companies.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's take a step back though, because like how cost prohibitive would it be to fucking like, first of all, what is the moon made of? Do you know?
Well, there's a lot of titanium, and there's a lot of, I don't know the makeup, but titanium was the weird thing to me where I'm like, well, that, you know, that's something that you could, and there's a lot of water on the moon too. I forget what the actual,
like how much money could you possibly gain by fucking building a spaceship, going to the moon, mining it, and then coming back? How much money can you even make from that?
Well, this is the part of the story that I think gets crazy, because any company mining something on the moon, I don't think they're going to bring it back to Earth. I think that you mine that stuff out there to build in space, for space stations, for maybe even continuing space research. But like, I think that this is him saying like companies that are probably already doing this, I think, like Northrop Grumman, these big government contract, secret military companies can now legally build stuff in space. That's what I think is happening.
That makes more sense, Willie, to me, because it doesn't make any sense at all to go out and bring stuff back, and, you know, for monetary reasons. But if you're already out in space and you want to use the resources available to stay out there, right? Or to, you know, whatever the hell you're doing out there, you need to, if you're, whether that be, you know, building space stations or I don't know what do you do in space anyway. But when you're in space, it makes a lot more sense to use those resources to build out there versus, you know, building stuff here and then trying to ship it out.
I mean, obviously the ideal version of humanity is that we're going to build bases on the moon to, and that'll be our base to go to the rest of the solar system. And so I think saying that, oh, it's okay for corporations to mine water, that water would never come back to Earth. That water is for space. It's for creating oxygen in space and creating habitat environments in space. And yeah. So this happens now because they know, because it's already in the works of what they want to do.
So what's the problem there? If there's no foul intention there, all they need is, they need life support. If they're going to have, you know, a station on the moon, they need water.
The foul intention is that, I mean, I think, and this is me coming up with shit, speculating, but the foul intention to me is that there are companies set up to already do this. And so I know that that's kind of off topic.
So, I mean, what if there was countries that were set up to do that weren't American? I mean, would you?
Okay, bingo. I mean, you just hit it. Like, I think, like, Trump is notorious for like making deals with companies in other countries to like boost his own personal interests, right? Like, not a lot of what he's done has been for America. It's been for him. Once he's done being president, like, he's, all of his companies are going to be like super rich because he keeps like doing contracts and stuff that are just going to benefit like him. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think the nefarious thing is twofold. It's one, because he's doing this at a weird time where a pandemic is happening and he should be focusing on like keeping American citizens alive. but rather he's going like, oh, I'm signing an executive order where now we can mine space.
Yeah, can you talk about
kind of?
Can you talk about that for a second? Like, how does that even happen? Like, does someone come to him and say, "Hey, you really ought to revisit this space thing. Well, now's the time."
That's what I'm.
Or is that his idea?
No, like I think that. Like, I'm not good at vocalizing that, but that's what I'm saying.
Well, he doesn't have ideas.
But that I think that all of these things have already all been in place so much so that they can approach him with it. Be like, hey, what I think is that because China, there are a few countries on the moon right now. China's got a couple rovers out there. And so my thing is, I think that he either signed a deal with them or, you know, a backdoor deal, or there are secret military companies that are already there that China is going to find. I'm just saying that no matter what, nobody's just coming up with this stuff going like, hey, we should be able to mine the moon. It's like, no, I think that it's like, we're mining the moon. We're about to get caught. You want in on this, you know, like for a long time.
Well, I think answer Blue's question, it's like, it's scandalous because it's like, nobody agreed to this. He didn't talk to any other countries. He just said like, oh, hey, America's going to start doing this. And it's like, everyone. All right. So I remember I had this, when I was in grade school, there was this kid named Levi. And his birthday was the same day as mine. And he was like kind of a bully. He was like a bigger kid. He's kind of an asshole. And I went over to play with him, I think solely because we had the same birthday. And he was like, let's build like forts for our G.I. Joe guys. And I was like, cool. He had like a weird like dirt fucking backyard or whatever. I don't know what the fuck. And so we're like building this like this fort for like our G.I. Joe guys. And we spent like a lot of time on it. And then when we were done with it, he goes, okay, cool. So this is my fort. Now go build yours. And then we're going to fight. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I just built this with you. And he's like, no, this is mine. This is my fort. So I had to go like build a fucking shitty fucking fort in like 15 minutes after we'd spent like 2 hours building his fort. And that reminds me a lot of this, where now America's going like, oh, hey, you know that whole space thing that we're doing? Like, we're taking it all. And we're going to use it. And like, so you guys go fuck off and like do your own thing. That's why I think it's like sort of egregious, because it's like no warning. It's just like, we're taking it. Good luck.
What are you going to do? India? Like, yeah, you've got technology, but we're in space. And we have now a military space presence. So these companies that we're going to protect them from you coming to the moon now, because we own the moon.
Suck it, India. What? But Trump's not even using his buddies to build the stuff for him, is he?
I'll bet he is.
So ultimately, then, you know, what would be the solution here that'd be, you know, satisfactory? Is if
that's a really good question, because it's up. I mean, the lamest answer that I can say is that it's up to the world. And you know what? Not that many countries even signed any of these treaties.
What's that Tom Cruise movie that's about like the
Far and Away? Get land.
Yeah. They're putting flags. They're putting flags in the
claiming. What is that called? Staking their claim.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you bring that up, because there's a real estate company that has been selling plots on the moon. So now does that?
Yeah, but that's all legitimate? Fake shit, right? I mean, like, but that's like when you buy a star. Like, you can buy a star. It doesn't mean anything. No governing body will recognize that Willie bought the one weird star fucking way out there.
I agree with you, but there's a few lunar real estate companies, though, that have been selling. So like let's say because obviously some rich people have bought some craters. And so now they can all sue because like, well, we already bought this, but like they didn't have the right to sell it. So I love all the weird shit that's going to happen because of this.
I know. For some reason I just pictured like, you know, shit hits a fan and everybody leaves Earth and they, you know, this family just shows up and they're like, hey, we're here. And someone else is there. And they're like, well, no, we bought it. And so no, we, here's the deed right here. It just, it's so, I don't know. That's so nuts.
Well, I've got a different deed. I've got the deed from the astrologicalsociety.com.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my deed's from the Astrological Society of America.com. So,
yeah. So why don't more people start those companies?
Right. Now's the time to do it. Sell some asteroids. You could.
Yeah, make some money, man. Just start selling space.
So
no one's gonna stop you. There's no regulation.
Yeah, there really isn't. And even us claiming this, there's no regulation either. My take is the space race was the race to weaponize space. And we've had weaponized satellites in space for a long time, right? Because the idea is
I don't believe it. I don't know that we have a technology that can shoot lasers or whatever you're talking about, missiles from space.
But I think that we've definitely have nukes on satellites in space, and we have.
I don't think so.
Laser technology also.
I don't think so, man.
Here's my thing. So, I don't think so either. But at the same time, like there's got to be. They have to be out there.
Like, dude, we have submarines that have been underwater since the Vietnam War.
Because they were.
There's no reason. Okay. Everybody, all right. Well,
go.
Willie, do you know how dumb that sounds? What do you mean?
Well, I'm just,
for 60 years, there's been a submarine under the.
Well, no,
ocean?
No.
What about the crew?
The crew still will like be changed out and stuff. I'm just saying though that like the Cold War has made it so that we're so secretive that we have nuclear weapons all over the world. And we won't.
I'll say this: there is zero reason to have a nuclear weapon in space when we can shoot them from the ground. Like well,
what does it gain us? There are two reasons. One of them is if it comes from space, let's say you knew a nuclear war was going to happen. Let's say you just knew it, right? If you launch from the space, nobody would know where it came from. And so you wouldn't retaliate on the United States if it was just coming from space. And so mutually assured destruction.
But like diplomacy is more complicated than that. Like, you're going to know who your enemies are. If you get nuked, you're not going to be like, what? Where did that come from? You're going to be like, oh, motherfucking America.
Damn it, Steve.
But if it came from space, it might take you long enough to not be able to retaliate. That's the whole thing.
No, it's not the whole thing. That's stupid. That's so stupid. Because the whole thing about, like, nuclear war is, like, war games, right? There's no winner. Remember that, Matthew Broderick?
Well, there's no winner because like, both places attacked each other equally. So,
yeah, exactly. And so, like, once you get nuked, you're going to attack whoever your enemy is. It doesn't matter if it came from space. Do you immediately know who nuked you in the real world? Like,
if a nuclear weapon.
Like, how do you even know that?
But, like everybody's technology is so. Good. It's so much better than you can imagine. You know, like picture Google Earth. Google Earth is behind the times for Russia's security of the world. So when a nuclear silo opens up and gets launched, there are multiple countries that know that has been opened up and is taking off and where it's going to hit. Just from technology.
I'll bet you would know that from space too. Sorry, yeah, go on.
No, that's exactly what my point was. Is it, if you have the technology to put nukes in space, target an enemy and launch from space, you probably, the technology definitely exists to track, you know, to monitor that threat. I would think, whether that be other satellites in space that are monitoring that or from.
Right. So Willie, I think that like the whole point is like, there's just no reason to weaponize satellites because like people are going to know where it comes from anyway. It doesn't do you any good to like put it into space. It sounds cost prohibitive. Like, I just don't get it. Like, you know who your enemies are.
Well, okay. So that's one take, all right? The other take is the military-industrial complex. What happens when the world is at peace? Here is mountains and mountains of people that have security clearances, that have ranks, that have, they're doing forget about illegal operations. The whole point of the military-industrial complex is that there always needs to be a threat bigger than them so that they can always fund what they're doing next. Meaning, if you look at our nukes, if you look at our jets, if you look at everything that we have, one could argue that we have the most advanced military on the world. So why do we need to spend any more money on it? There's nobody getting a better military than us. And I believe that. I believe that we could take out any country, even if they knew we were attacking. And so this military-industrial complex also knows that, and they say, well, there's a threat bigger than any country. And for a while, it was terrorism, because you don't know where it's coming. So you have to spend money like researching and figuring out. You have to be able to fight a terrorist from anywhere on the world. And so now the next threat is, might be asteroids, but let's just say it's aliens, right? Alien technology, which for 30, 40, 50 years, news organizations, military have all been saying, there's nothing to this. There's not even, UFOs aren't anything. And now they're saying, well, yeah, we've been researching it and these UFOs are real. And so that the next threat is, hey, UFOs are better than anything we have. So we need to spend more money and build up our military even more to defend against a space threat. This is why we have a space force. There was a senator, who's that unattractive guy that looks like that everybody hates because he's really creepy?
The little turtle guy?
Yeah, right. I think it was him that said something like, you know, there, you know, what if there's
Mitch
space?
McConnell?
No, turtle. Yeah, he is the turtle. The creepy guy that was the Republican candidate for a while before Trump.
You're going to have to narrow it down.
Anyways, he said something like, you know, as a senator was like, well, you know, there could be space pirates. And this was like 2 years ago. This was 2 years ago. This was a year ago.
Well, hang on. Because I want to understand your point. Is your point just that the military-industrial complex is an insurmountable beast that's always going to be sucking up our resources? Because I agree with that.
Yeah, that is the point. But they have to convince everyone that they still need the budget. Like, we spent, let's say we,
I don't know that they do. So I guess that's where I disagree with you. I don't think they need to. They're doing whatever the fuck they want. Like, they don't need to make up aliens or UFOs to continue fucking putting $1 billion into a submarine.
I'm not saying they're making it up. I'm saying that they know that the alien threat is not a threat. But they need to convince people that there is a threat there so that we can throw money at it still.
Okay, so that's interesting. So I guess what you're saying is aliens exist. They know it. They know they're benevolent. Like, you're playing chess here. So they know they're benevolent. They're making up a bunch of weird, like, false flags to maintain putting a bunch of money into the military, which they really don't even need those because they're going to do that regardless.
But we spent
why do that?
Let's say we spent, I don't know the numbers, but let's say we spent $300 trillion on military last year. How much did we spend on education? 2 million? I don't know.
Obviously, yes. Like, fucking defund the military, put it into like.
But let's say an asteroid was going to hit the Earth, or aliens were here. Either one of those makes us go, oh, we need to have even better technology to defend against that. So let's mine the moon. Let's get into space.
How are you getting any of that out of like, let's mine space? Because they have not said like, oh, fucking aliens are here. Let's mine space.
Well, I mean, okay. So here's the thing. They basically did say aliens were here 2 years ago, right?
According to your weird fringe sources, maybe.
No, New York Times and Washington Post. They both.
This is. I mean, come on. This is like talking to my dad.
Okay. So, like they admit, the Pentagon admitted when this UFO came out, this story, the Pentagon admitted that they're still spending $20 million a year researching UFOs. In the 70s, they said UFOs were nothing. And that has been the storyline until now. And so now they're saying, well, yeah, we're still researching UFOs. And that just makes you like, wait, you're researching UFOs. That is a tell saying that there's something to it. You're spending $20 million every year researching something that nobody believes in.
But who's? I disagree. Go on, Blue. Go on, Blue.
No, I'm just curious. Who's questioning that? Maybe a ton of people. I don't know. But I'm just curious. Like, who's pushing back on that spending? I mean, to Wade's point, they're gonna spend whatever the hell they want to spend. They don't necessarily need a reason for that.
But do you agree with what they're spending it on? Do you agree that their best interest is America?
Doesn't matter if we agree? Haven't we proved that democracy doesn't? We don't live in a democracy. We live in an oligarchy. They're gonna do whatever the fuck they want, and so these whole like accusations of like deep state stuff don't hold any weight with me because I think that they're doing bad things across the board.
I agree with you and across the board, both sides, you get like, and so my thing is like, I don't agree that that's how it should be. And I think that most people don't agree, but they feel helpless. And I'm like, no, we need to take this back. You should not be allowed to spend money on, let's say, black projects that affect Americans, right? There was something I was looking at. There's this new documentary out there by Stephen Greer, and it's called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. And they were going around. You could go watch it live, and then coronavirus happened, and it all got canceled. So you have to pay for it. But I paid for it, and I'm not done with it yet, but Stephen Greer, I think is a guy who is trying to expose all of this corrupt secret military just for the, I mean, here's his main statement.
Well, I just think that like, we all agree that like the government sucks. At least I can't speak for Blue, but like, I agree with everything you're saying. I don't think that there are UFOs or aliens. I think that, like, I don't know. The military-industrial complex is a weird issue because it employs a lot of people, but we also spend way too much money on it. Put it into education, all that fucking bullshit. Like, we've talked about it a lot before. So you're kind of preaching to the choir, I guess?
The thing is whether I'm preaching to the choir or not, I feel like there's more to open up in the realm where I'm just saying, like, I don't think anybody comes out and says, hey, can we mine on the moon? I think they come in and they say, we're mining on the moon. What can you do for us? And so to me, this is a whistleblower situation where we're basically like giving away our rights to the future. You know, like what happens, let's say there's an American company mining on the moon, and they say that there are aliens attacking this company. And so the military now says, hey, this is an American company. We need to defend them. So let's spend trillions more on alien defense on the moon.
So you're saying that the reason that this is happening now is because in the future, they're going to say, oh, aliens have attacked our moon mining company. And so now we need to keep spending money.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't get it.
All right. I don't get it either. Let's take a quick break. I need to collect my thoughts. I fucking had something and I'm forgetting it. But let's take a quick break and then we'll be back with my brother-in-law, Blue Grimes, talking about
commercializing the solar system, right?
I like that.
Commercializing. That's good. All right.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills. And the kills. And the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. Has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
That's funny.
And she doesn't remember it. She doesn't remember me and her. Like, we hated each other, and she doesn't remember that. Like, the only time that we were cool with one another is when she went to college, and then I came and visited you guys at Fort Lewis. And it was like, oh, man, she's like my friend now.
That's funny. Didn't you have my ID then?
I don't. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Did we try to go to a bar or something?
Yeah, I think he went to a bar with Kim. I can't remember, but.
I just remember that's the first time I ever had cherry beer. It was a Sam Adams cherry beer. And I was like, oh, beer can taste good. I was like so young.
That's funny.
All right. Willie, do you have a... Let's get more sci-fi about it, right?
Okay.
Oh, we're recording. Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're here talking to our good friend, Blue Grimes. Blue, your parents named you Blue River.
They did. It was either Blue River or Jubilee.
How did you survive that?
I was a bully. That's how.
Oh yeah, I forget. I always forget you're a bully, dude. It's so funny.
Wait, were you guys all bullies?
No. I don't. Willie, you weren't a bully, were you?
No. I didn't know you till high school, but I hear about your Bill Reed days and your elementary days. I don't want to say anything.
Were you a bully in middle school?
In grade school and middle school. But I was a pussy bully. Like I never got my ass kicked. I beat up on the wimpy kids.
Did you actually beat them up?
No. The worst thing I did, one time, so we were in art class once in eighth grade and we were testing that day. I don't know what you test for in art grad, like maybe like gradients or shading or something. I don't know what it was, but we had a test in art class. And then, I put my head down like to rest, you know, because I finished, and this kid next to me was a total nerd. And I was a nerd too, but he was putting Kleenex on my head, and then I would look up and he would pretend like he was reading. And so he did it like four times, and the last time he did it, I looked up and I punched him in the face through his book, like as hard as I could, and he just fell out of his chair and fell on the floor. He picked up his book and put it in front of his face again and just started crying behind it. It was so bad. It was so bad.
Do you remember that kid's name?
I don't.
I'll bet he remembers yours.
Oh, I guarantee he does. He probably hopes that I, you know, have passed on from heart disease or something. I don't know.
He probably fucking follows you on Facebook and is like, fuck this fucking guy.
Yeah.
Dude, I know elementary school doesn't count, but I remember when I was in first grade, this kid in my trailer park picked on me.
Wait. Why does elementary school not count? That was like the height of me getting bullied.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know. I this is me being defensive for him. This kid picked on me, right? In my trailer park. Like just me and him by ourselves. And he was, and I was so offended. I was like, man, you're going to fucking pick on me? It was him and his buddy. And then years later, he got hailed back in elementary school. So all of a sudden he's in our grade. And then all of a sudden he's fucking hanging out with my friends and he's on the basketball team with me. And I have to pretend like I'm his friend. Fucking Mitch Armbruster.
Hang on. Mitch Armbruster is older than you?
Yeah. He was a grade ahead of us, but he got held back in elementary school.
That cannot be true. That can't be true because he was in my grade.
No, he wasn't.
That means, yes, he was. He totally was.
No, he was not. No, he wasn't.
I know, like, who are you thinking of?
He must have bullied you so hard that you're having false. What happens when you're bullied that hard?
Yeah, he graduated in our class. But he was this weird really? Guy. I don't mean it. I mean, fuck it. I mean, fuck it. I'm talking shit on
no,
him.
No, fuck that guy. That guy's a piece of shit. Like, fuck him.
Let's dox him.
Mitch Armbruster.
He was a liar. Dude. Arm he was always Brewster. Lying. I remember in 1996, we were hanging out on maybe 97. We were hanging out in the backyard of Ted Johnson's house, right? And he was trying to tell everybody about how great the new Star Wars was going to be. He's talking about the episode one. And he's sitting back there and he's like, I guess you could watch the movie and read the book at the same time. And it matches perfectly. And he goes,
makes no sense.
And he goes, you know this, right, Willie? You have the books. And I was like, oh fuck, you're gonna lie, and then B, you're gonna put number one Star Wars fan into your lie.
And so that's a whole new level.
I was like, holy shit, dude, there's no fucking book.
Everyone's playing chess. Everyone's playing checkers. Mitch Armbruster is playing chess.
Oh gosh. Anyways,
that's funny.
You know who I hated? Short Strain. Yeah. And then he fell off a cliff, and I was like, awesome.
He was still pretty mean to you guys after that.
I know.
That guy was a piece of shit, man. Dude, he was mean to us after he fell off a cliff.
To us. And yeah. I'd watch him.
Fuck that dude.
I'd catch him bullying people and I'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't remember like my best friend's name in third grade. I remember Court's fucking strange name. Is that his name? Yeah. Did I say it right?
Yep.
Like, that's how much it impacted me. Like, fuck that guy.
He was in a wheelchair for like a year because he fell off a cliff rock climbing. Blue, your rock climbing incident scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, that was nuts. How did you find out about that? Did I tell you or something? Did I call you?
You didn't call me. I think I'm like, how did I find out? It wasn't a Facebook post because
what is the story? Like the listeners are so bored right now.
Wait, hold on. You're getting. Did your mic change or something? Oh. Okay.
We used to go to in Durango. Wade, did you when you came out there to visit? Did you go to that cave with us?
No. I didn't do any fun stuff.
There's a cave there where they used to mine. I don't know what they mined, but it was an old mine site. And when they shut it down, they tunneled into a cave a little bit. So they put a gate on it, and so that bears and wildlife wouldn't.
There's mines all over Colorado.
Yeah, but they didn't lock the gate. It was open to the public. So we went there several times and went and explored it. It was a pretty cool little cave. It went probably maybe a quarter mile back. And one time we were there and we came out and we started to climb the rock face outside of it. It's probably about 75 feet. And I was climbing that and I grabbed a hold to pull myself up and the rock I grabbed fell out and I fell off the face of the cliff. And it was, I have pictures of it. It was, about four stories. And, then I landed in like the only soft pile of dirt around there. It was really strange. And then, I tried to get up and then I fell back down and then my friends ran out to the highway and flagged down a car and they called an ambulance and then they came and the ambulance got there really fast and then they came and put me on a stretcher and hiked me out.
The scariest part of the story that you didn't say was that I ever heard anybody ever say was that you reached for fell out. And so you're sliding against a rock wall and your head was hitting the rock so much that you couldn't take it. And you just pushed away from the cliff.
Yeah. I pushed with my hands and Court tells kind of the same story. He said he pushed off with his feet to get away.
Wait, that motherfucker was there. Oh, two stories. Got it. Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
How do you think I fell, dude? And, yeah, so it wasn't that far, Willie. It was only, you know, just the first part, but it hurt, you know. So obviously it was just a natural reflex to push away from that.
Wait, this is like 96, 97, something like that?
98. Yeah, 98. But yeah, it was crazy, man. Like everything that people say about anything traumatic like that is – that's what happened to me. Everything just slowed down to a crawl. And I could hear my t-shirt. I could hear it flapping in the wind when I was falling through the air. It was
fuck.
Flap, flap.
Dude, totally. Like I fell off a fence one time. Exact same thing, man.
You could hear your shirt flapping.
Time slowed down. I was like, this is the end.
What else?
Oh, and then my t-shirt was flapping and stuff.
That's what I thought.
All right. So let's get back to space. is there anything more to say? I feel like we're on the same page with this stuff. Like, it's irresponsible for America to say we're going to mine space. But I guess Willie's point is we're doing this. The conspiracy is, oh, it's because aliens exist and we have to be protected against them, I guess, by like mining space. But that doesn't seem like.
No, I mean, my take is this. aliens are here. We have to make aliens the bad guys, because when you realize that they're not the bad guys, what happens when humanity says, hey, aliens can teach us about the universe, let's just go with them. I don't need to go to my job anymore. Like,
That's not true, though.
I don't need military protection from...
Okay, but why would that be true? Just because we introduce ourselves to a new society, why would you not have to go to work anymore?
The idea is that the technologies that these alien races have would make it so that we don't need. Now, hold on. This is, I'm trying to get this from the perspective of, not from you individually, but from the people that are afraid of losing their power. Let's say, because honestly, if you if you take in the 1% of the world that owns over 40% of the wealth in the world, right? They also, the way that they're amassing this wealth is from having the whole population need them. So when you look at power companies, drug companies, these big conglomerates, let's say an alien race came, and this is not going to happen, but let's say they came and said, hey, you guys don't need any more drugs. You don't need any more food. Just come with us and not necessarily go with them, but like the fear is just from the people in power that why would a society throw any money towards anything when everything they'll ever need, they can get on their own from aliens teaching them stuff, meaning like, hey, they're not going to teach us farming, but they can teach us technology so that we never have to pay for power again. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with good parallels, because the idea is that as a society, humanity, if somebody said, hey, you guys don't need to have leaders anymore, because we can teach you how to telepathically communicate. So what do you need a leader
for? Well, that sounds like a con. Like, I'm not going to believe these people.
Well, no,
these aliens.
No. The aliens aren't saying that. They're here doing their own stuff. The people in charge of the world are afraid that we may say, hey, we don't need to pay for anything anymore because these aliens, we can learn more from them and join the galactic community instead of sitting back here and trying to fight for my benefits. You know, like,
I'm trying to figure out your perspective. Are you saying that the government is keeping aliens from us because they would enlighten us?
Yes. That is the perspective. And so that's why, and that narrative, I think, is spread into Hollywood on purpose. Also, that's a lame side tangent, but that.
No, Victor, don't listen. Here's what I hate.
Snowballing.
My dad is. It's hard to even say this. My dad has gotten very into QAnon.
Oh gosh, dude! QAnon's freaking me out, dude. I know.
I don't know what that is.
It is a conspiracy sect that is ruled by both religious and the extreme right. Right now, they think that that this coronavirus is attached to billionaires getting busted for that rule the world that are demon worshipers and pedophiles. And so,
do you remember Pizzagate, Blue? Do you know about Pizzagate?
No, I don't know about Pizzagate.
Okay. So,
I know it's weird. I tried to avoid talking about it most of the time.
It's all this like sort of right-wing propaganda saying that like everybody on the left is a pedophile.
And part of the deep state.
Yeah, okay. The deep state thing is like in there. So it's like, like Hillary Rodham Clinton like fucking like raped like little boys in this like pizza place. It's all made up, but yeah. The people online who subscribe to it are convinced by it. And so like there's this place in DC, I think it was called Rocket Pizza.
It's Comet Pizza. Shauna knows the owner.
Comet Pizza. They were like, this is like a pedophilia fucking hub. Everyone who goes there is like a fucking pedophile. And like, it's all made up. It's all fake.
Sure.
But some guy who believed this QAnon believer, like went to Comet Pizza with like a gun. Ugh. And like wanted to like shoot the place up. My father currently is like believing this stuff, and I don't know. He raised me.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to tell him, like, Dad, listen to the things that you told me when I was growing up, which is don't believe everything you read. He believes everything that he reads, and it's awful. I don't know how to. Luckily, he's old enough. Go on.
I don't think that's a battle that you could win. I don't think it should be a battle anyway. I mean, there's a lot of folks out there. I'm sure all of us know someone like that. Where they're beyond reason, right? No matter what their background or you know where they came from or how they raised you, a lot of that rationale is just gone for one reason or another.
But that's what's so disconcerting about it. And I think, like, Willie, that's like what's disconcerting about you and I's. You and my relationship is like, you believe all this crazy shit, and I want to say, like, there's no reason that there's nukes in a satellite, and like the only thing that this Trump is saying, like, oh, we're gonna just like mine resources out of the moon. I don't think there's no more to it than just manifest destiny and going like, it's ours. It has nothing to do with like, we're gonna fucking kill everyone.
And it's weird because my perspective is whatever is brainwashing me, everybody's brainwashed because nobody's coming up with their own shit. You know what I mean? Everybody's brainwashed. I don't know what it's from.
maybe.
Meaning, you know, most people are like, they're brainwashed by the idea of, I need my rights, which means I get to watch TV every night, leave me alone. I'm like, wait, that's not your freedoms, whatever. So whatever is brainwashing me is trying to say, hey, wake up, shake up. I mean, ultimately, corporations are the citizens of the United States. They have more rights because they have people fighting for them. And so anytime legislation gets pushed through, it's because a corporation it can make money off of what's happening. You know, this executive order that was signed by Trump isn't saying like, hey, everyone deserves the right to mine. If you have the capabilities to mine the moon, go do it. No. That's not what's happening. What's happening is somebody that is already doing it or has figured out the future in such a way that they're like, we can make money on this. We need to do this. Set it into place now, and we're buddies, right? So the idea is, I mean, like I know that this isn't the topic, and I know that this isn't what we're talking about, but there's this big 5G craze going on right now. I only bring that up because what people aren't seeing. Everyone's afraid of everything, but what people aren't seeing is that the next technology is going to be the internet without cell phones. That's what 5G is. There's going to be so many cameras everywhere that you can step out. This is 100% true in China. This is why they have the social credit score. When you step outside, there are things that have facial recognition that recognize you. So in the future, the next wave of technology is you step outside of your house and you say, Uber, take me to the satellite. And these cameras will recognize your face. They'll recognize your voice, and they'll attach your money to the chip in your hand without a cell phone. It's the internet without a cell phone. They'll get you where you're going. And so like, this isn't like a weird control thing. This is just the next wave of technology. And so everybody, all the laws that are being put into place now, the reason why everybody around the world is pushing 5G is because they're all getting paid because they know that this is the next big money. So they're getting paid to say, hey, we don't need to test 5G. And so I'm just saying like.
And so you're saying that's unhealthy because they're not testing.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying it's unhealthy. I'm saying that like, it doesn't matter if it's healthy or not. It's getting pushed because the money knows that that's what's next. And so mining the moon, mining space, mining asteroids, it's already like in place what they want to do there. But
why is that bad? I guess. Why is that bad?
It's bad because corporations are not worried about the rights of the citizens of these sovereign nations. It's just money being thrown around. Space is just another thing where money can get thrown around.
And so ultimately, and then what happens? What's the final terrible negative outcome from all of this?
So let's say that they figured out how they can mine the moon, and they build a base on there. No matter what happens in the future. You yourself, let's say that you had the technology to go to the moon by yourself. When you get there, there's going to be too much red tape for you to explore it. And that sounds stupid, but I'm just saying that like the bad part about all of this space stuff is, and this, if you don't believe me, that's fine. But my version is, because aliens exist, because aliens are here, they're just going about their business. They're waiting for us to be responsible enough for us to play with them. It's like, dude, you don't want to invite the bully over to your party, right? So you just let the bully go do their thing and you have your own party without them. We're not invited to the party because of the bullies that run our society. Because
conspiracy and conspiracy theory, like how is that productive without factual evidence to support it? It's called conspiracy theory. I've never heard of conspiracy fact.
But there are facts that get thrown into theory because like for example, it is fact that I forget if it was the FBI or CIA, which is a bad start to my truth.
That's all right.
It is fact that Martin Luther King Jr., that one of these secret entities were trying to blackmail him by sending him photos of him being unfaithful to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
There's a secret, I mean, you know, whether it's the CIA or the FBI, there is a governing secret body that we think is protecting us that was trying to blackmail him to stop the civil rights movement because it affected them making money. And so there are entities out there that basically lose money, lose power, lose control when we get together and fight for what's right. I know you hear things like sheeple all the time, stuff like that, but it's like, no, the idea is that we're, and this is a basic, common, stupid thing, so it's dumb that I'm even saying it, but that like, we're so entertained with the way things are that all we want is to continuously be entertained so much so that we give up our rights. We stop.
All right. Hang on. I hate that. I hate the notion that like everyone is a fucking consumer and like, oh, just give me friends and I'll be happy. Like, I don't think that's true with anyone. I think that's like a sort of scapegoaty sort of like notion that you conspiracy theorists, you enlightened people, you're so much better than everyone who watches Modern Family or whatever.
Don't put me into that. Go on, keep going, but don't blanket me into better than everyone, because I'm not. That's not how I feel.
I think that's the viewpoint that you're expressing is that like, oh, as long as we're placated by like entertainment, that we're going to be fine with anything. I don't think that being disgruntled and watching Modern Family are two different camps. I think that you can watch Modern Family and you can also be upset at the way things are going. And I think that like this whole, God damn it, I fucking lost it. But like, I think like, shit, I lost it. I fucking lost it. I just think that like, the Instagram thing, the TikTok thing, like this is not a placation. Like, people are still upset by everything that's happening in the government.
Here's some stupid side things. Okay, I'm gonna parallel everything you're trying to say with how unhappy I am with the thing that just happened in Wisconsin. They had an election on Tuesday. They tried to push everything because of the coronavirus. The White House came out and said, hey, don't go shopping this week because there's a good, we're trying to flatten out the curve. So don't go around people. And so they wanted to push the primary election in Wisconsin, because they're like, hey, A, social distancing, B, so many people applied to vote by ballot that most people won't even get their election ballot by election day. So let's just push this. And so there's this narrative that came out that was like, oh, the Democrats are trying to win the election by pushing the election. And so basically in Wisconsin, they said, hey, you have to vote today. And this was pushed by whatever. I'm not going to even get into, I can't believe that I'm related to that fucking Chief Justice John Roberts, because they basically came out and said, you have to go vote today, even though it's recommended that you don't go in public today. And polling places, let's say there were 200 in certain cities like, I don't know, Green Bay, most people stopped volunteering. And so there were basically like two places that you could vote in. And so the whole vote of the state was compromised because they said, you have to vote today. Most polling places weren't open. And so to me, in this situation, people, you should be upset that your democracy was taken from you because you needed to put yourself in danger to go vote. And this is, I would argue that the reason why this came about is because they know that if people don't vote, there are certain seats that would be kept by certain parties. I don't know. I mean, this is a situation where our
No. Like 100%. I mean, you're talking like voter suppression through pandemic. Like,
this is gonna happen in November.
I mean, yeah. So now, what are we talking about? We're talking about like Republicans versus Democrats. But like,
forget about the parties and take it to who's making money off of this. These corporations, I keep saying corporations and I hate that, but they're the ones paying for everything. And they're the ones that want things the way that they are. I believe that there are Republicans and Democrats out there that got into politics to try to make things better. And then they found out that people get paid to make decisions a certain way. And if you don't make those decisions, then you get put out. And so our whole political system is run by corporations. And so when the government says, hey, we need a space force, even though we already have one, I think that there's corporations behind it making money. And then when they say, hey, corporations are allowed to mine, when they say, quote unquote, Americans are allowed to mine, they mean corporations that are allowed to mine. And so we're fucked. Everything's a sham. Everything is backdoor deals. And so these aliens will never come treat us with respect. Not that they have to, because we're fucking
right.
Irrespectable, whatever. So
yeah. I mean, we suck. Like all this, we suck. Like I agree with everything you just said. Outside of that, there are aliens. Like I think that you think that aliens are going to come here and solve all of our problems.
No.
Well, I don't think they'd read into this sociology of the human race.
Oh, so. No. But they see us having nukes all over the world, and they see us killing each other. Like they see nukes. You know, they may not.
I don't believe any of that. And I think that that's a weird conversation stopper because you can just always go like, oh, well, the aliens would solve it all, but like we're like violent people or whatever. And it's just, it's like not productive to like say that.
If you wanted to push that argument, Willie, I'd say your children, like the youth, kids see the violence and kids see this and, you know, and that's a major influencer. Like, you know, the future of the world sees what you're seeing, right? Versus aliens or whatever. I don't know. But that would be a solid argument for change, in my opinion. Like, what are we showing our youth and our kids? Like, is this a good, lead by example scenario? And no, it's not. I mean, all your arguments are really valid until the aliens come into the mix. But you sub aliens for the youth. And then I think you have something to really, you know, stand on there and back it up. But then the conspiracy theory part goes out the window. Right. I think that's your role. And I appreciate that role. I like it. So I don't know what the solution is, but that'd be my recommendation. If you wanted to get, you know, have some clout and some push behind the argument to gain some notoriety or following is, you know, what are we showing? How is our future, you know, how are future generations being influenced by current, you know, today's news and what's happening? We're just not.
Well, you know, I agree with you, but one, I'm not saying I don't know. I'm just saying it's easy to take away someone's credibility if you just say they're a pedophile.
Well, no, but hang on, dude, because you're being defensive in a way that like you should not be, because like everything that you're saying is right. We're just saying like when you bring aliens into it, you lose credibility.
I'm not.
It shouldn't be that way.
My perspective is I'm not being defensive. It's that I'm proactively, because here's the thing. Everything that we're talking about is making me go like, because I've been debating this for so long that it's like, well, I should get into local government, right? But I'm just like, I'm disheartened by the fact that opposition can make something up about you and then can take away all your credibility, even though it's not real. That wasn't me being defensive. That was me going like, well, yeah, but somebody could say something and then it's all over.
Because they have financial backing by corporations.
Yeah. You spend enough money on advertising and then people believe the story, you know? And I'm like, fuck, dude, that's not worth it. It's not worth it. This is me trying to be like, how do you get into politics without being political? It's impossible.
I think, Willie, what you need to do is wait for someone to run that has the initials MM, and then you can take M&Ms and flip it over and give them away and spin it and say, vote for Willie Roberts. Oh, wait, Willie Wobbits? Wait, no, that doesn't make it.
Yeah, no.
I'll join the ticket and it'll be Willie and Wade.
Yeah.
Okay, that's perfect.
Wade, this is what happened. I was running for senior class. I was running for class president in freshman year, right? And Mark Height gave M&Ms to fucking everybody and said,
spend a ton of money, right? Your point.
Just remember that Marvelous Mark gave you some M&Ms. And then I grabbed it, and this happened spontaneously. I grabbed the M&Ms out of his hands, be like, or you could just vote for Wonderful Willie. And we had to campaign to every class, and he spent money and gave everyone M&Ms, and I made that same joke in every class, and I won. And it was just funny, because he's...
So you need to understand, like, the microcosm of that is real world. Like, fucking... who's the not Bernie guy? What's his fucking name? Biden. All right, so Biden is like, I didn't even want to do this, but like, nobody likes him, you know? They only like him a little bit more than Trump. They like him a little less than What's my point? My point is, I don't really have one.
Third party this year, right? This is the third party year.
I thought I'd get more of a reaction from you, Wade. The spin, that because it plays to Willie's point really well that, you know, money wins elections, and you know, financial backing pulls a lot of weight, everywhere. But it also plays against Lee's point that there's hope, right? You could spin it. If you can figure out a way, you can always spin it. And I mean, how much money do you think that kid spent, dude, in high school? And it blew up in his face. So there's hope. I mean,
no, Blue, I was fully on board. I was fully on board with that. I was trying to yes and it, and I hit a fucking brick wall with it. Like, because like, how do you do it? Like, how do you do it? Because like, you can't, because like the establishment has been set up in such a way that like Bernie Sanders can't win the Democratic what's it called?
Nomination?
Yeah.
Like, he's tried twice. It can't happen. Like, the establishment has like fucked him over. I don't even care about like Democrats or Republicans. this is what's wrong. Like, I was into like Ron Paul, and the same thing happened where like it was like, oh no, we can't have this guy. So the Republicans like fucked over Ron Paul in the same way that the Democrats are fucking over Bernie Sanders. And so now I'm going to make a prediction. This is a totally nonpartisan prediction. Like, Donald Trump is going to win his reelection because the Democrats have like fought so weirdly inner party. I don't know the fucking word, but like, they've weakened themselves to a point where like Donald Trump is gonna win again.
Yeah, they've split the party because I'll never trust the DNC, you know.
But all this goes to, all this goes back to Blue's point of like, or maybe it doesn't, because like the guy with all the money was running for this. For this class party system, right? Or president winning the presidency. Is that what it was?
Sure, yeah, yeah. He spent a lot of money, yeah.
And then Willie like turned it on its head and like made him run against himself by like using all of his money to.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's great in a microcosm. It just isn't happening.
It's not scalable?
It doesn't seem to be. I would love for it to be.
Here's the other scalable conclusion to that story. I was the class president for 3 years, and then on the fourth year, the person in charge of running the election hated me, Mrs. Olson, and the person that she loved was running against me. And I'm the class president for 3 years. The fourth year, our senior year, I accidentally didn't make the ballot. And so I won by being a write-in.
So that's a DNC, right? So yeah. Like.
Or who said it? Who said third party year? Someone said that.
I did. I'm like, if we can get enough votes for the third, people feel like it's a waste for a third party vote, but if we get enough
it's
votes
not,
for a third
it's party, not.
Then yeah. It shakes up Congress. And so we need that. That's the shakeup. It's not voting the next person in. It's getting the third party representation.
I mean, that's been my thing for like the last 10 years. Like,
this is the year, man. It's gotta be, right? Because Biden isn't gonna win.
I think Wade's prediction is spot on, but if there was any time to do it, you're right, Willie. I mean, now would be the time to do that. But it's going to take a Willie Wade type ticket to do that. You know what I mean? And you don't have I don't think you have the time to, well, maybe you do. I don't know, because look at what's going on right now in the world. Maybe it's the perfect time, and maybe you only need a matter of months to, you know, to push that.
But there's no third party candidate right now. You know what I mean?
That's my point. But at the same time, maybe because of the environment right now and what's happening, you don't need that much time. If they were to surface and campaign.
Well, it sucks because they changed campaign rules to where you have to get certain amount of donations to even be, I know that this is like DNC primary shit, but it's like, you can't even run for president unless you get a certain amount of money donated to you.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Like,
it's, but you were left off the ballot. I mean, isn't it about what the people want?
It should be. Like, if we could elect a president by write-ins, then democracy would win, but we can't. If write-ins were the majority and you could actually like vote a president in by write-ins, but you can't, because it's been established that like you just can't do that.
Yeah. They've changed the laws.
I think you're giving up.
We can change the laws back, but they've changed the laws, and like, it's sad. I know, that's what I'm saying. Is that like I'm trying not to give up, and like, I do believe aliens are here, and they don't give a fuck about us, and they shouldn't. But if we give a fuck about ourselves, we can join them. And
I feel like the belief in alien thing is like an escapist sort of like, I'm throwing my hands up in the air. I don't care anymore. Maybe aliens are the answer, and like they're not the answer.
But I don't think that they're the answer. But I think that I can prove to somebody that aliens exist based on how secret governments have reacted to them.
But is that an agenda? I mean, is that you want to spend your time? I mean, is your belief that powerful that it's like, you know what?
My belief is that powerful, but I know that won't get enough people to support me. So I have to drop it. The aliens are, it's too bad for humanity that we're not going to join them.
Well, then, I mean, so then Wade wins that argument. I mean, you know, I don't know. I think if you're that convicted.
Well, the way that we can join them, though, I mean, here's the greatest thing that Stephen Greer is saying right now is that, like, you can contact aliens individually. We don't need government represent. So forget about that. That was my argument with politics. As far as joining the galactic community, You can meditate and communicate with aliens on your own. And so that's what we need to do to join that community, is to say, hey, we don't need leaders. There are enough people here that are, because people want to be good. People want to be good. We just have shitty leaders. And even if you're a good leader, if you're good and you get into it, you still end up getting shit on because the system doesn't allow you to thrive unless you thrive the system. And so forget, let's bypass the system and go straight to the aliens. If you can get yourself to a higher state of consciousness, not a better state, but a higher state. It is better, but I fight with that all the time. I'm not better. I don't even meditate as much as I should. Can I hear you guys? I feel like I lost you.
Yeah. Really? You're talking about a fantasy.
I believe
this is a fantasy.
I believe it.
You can believe it all you want. It's a fucking fantasy, man. You think that there's going to be a benevolent fucking thing that comes down and saves us?
No. That's where you're wrong. They cannot save us at all. We have to save ourselves. If we can't save ourselves, they've already moved on. They're here, and we don't even see them because their technology looks like magic to us. We have to save ourselves to be noticed, and that's what I'm afraid of.
And so what?
Go on.
And so the solution is to reach a higher state of consciousness, and peace, and well-being.
As a society, now because of this coronavirus, we actually have a shot, because now everyone's at home protecting their families, going like, wait a minute, this life is not what humanity is supposed to be. And so hopefully we can reevaluate, you know, we all see how shady everything is. We all see how corrupt everything is. And so if we can say, hey, whatever it is we're supposed to be doing here, it's not working 40 hours a week to collect your benefit. You know what I mean? Like you need to reevaluate.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, sorry.
I get it. And that makes a lot of sense to me. It really does. Cause everybody's questioning their own personal and community reality right now, right? But I mean, you're essentially pushing an agenda just like everybody else. And the other agendas would be, hey, you know, hunker down and do what everybody's telling you to do, and we'll wait this thing out and everything will go back to normal. Your agenda would be, let's all come together or whatever. But the point is the agenda that you're pushing, which I think is great. It doesn't seem rational, and there's not a lot of it would take a lot of action, proaction, to invoke any sort of reaction on that agenda, and I couldn't see it happening.
Yeah, it's like witchcraft. It's like being like, hey guys, it's like a religion, you know. It's like, hey, if you guys just pray, everything will be okay.
So I can appreciate your optimism, and I think that's awesome, but I think unless someone steps up and pushes that agenda appropriately, it's just, hypothetical optimism at this point.
We need proof, and the proof is scattered because even within the belief of alien life, let's take Tom DeLonge, for example, right? He snuck his way into getting secret information about aliens and was included in the Podesta emails, and he's right there. But he's a part of the agenda that's being pushed that like aliens could be a threat, and it's not his fault. But the people that have joined his camp are a part of those people that say, hey, we don't know what this technology is and it could hurt us, so we got to defend ourselves against it. And it's all shit that it's like once you say you believe in aliens, there's like 10 camps to be a part of. It's like the word conspiracy theory. I'm just saying that like you are blanketly put into something. And so once you subscribe to one of those things, it's like you have to do extra work, and it's easy.
So then by that logic, then what conspiracy theorists are lazy because they don't want to commit to one theory and yes, really drive and make it fact.
Yes.
So you'll never see any progression or any success or progress on these theories, and they'll never be proven as fact because they're lazy. What did Wade call it? Fantasy, essentially.
Yeah. It is. And
so
I know
what's the point?
Well, it doesn't change my belief. It just makes me go, it makes me question how to go about, because I've always said this, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything, but now I'm going like, well, what if I do want to convince somebody? What do I do then?
Yeah, I think that's the way you should be thinking. I mean, because if you're the one that said, you know, if there's a time to make it happen, now's the time. But I mean, what's going to happen? I just can't see anything happening like that.
I know. And not to like jump back onto topic, whatever, but like, would you be upset if you found out that China took an asteroid out of space and made some computers with it?
No, I mean, I wouldn't care what they were doing with it, honestly.
What if they took plasma from the sun, and you found out that them taking the plasma from the sun decreased the life of the sun? Would that make you go like, hey, you can't do that?
Yeah, if that became public knowledge and it was scientifically proven, and you know, the powers that be came and said, hey, you guys should know about this. This is happening right now. There would be a chain reaction, and you would get you would get some results from that, I think.
I know. And the thing is most of the things that companies do nefariously won't affect you in such a way that A, you could prove it, or B, would be worth proving, you know?
I think those are one and the same. If anything is going to be proven, it should be worth proving.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Let me talk to you about aliens for a little bit then.
Wade, you look so angry. I wish everybody could see Wade right now.
Well, I mean, we kind of lost our way in that. The tangents that I went off on are just things that I often end up at. And so my question is this, though. Do you think that a corporation... Because when they say Americans have the right, they don't mean Americans. They mean American companies. Do you think that Northrop Grumman has the right to mine the moon?
Yeah, I mean, there's no context there. That's a blanket question. That's like a huge net.
Yeah.
That you're guessing. I mean, ask a pointed question.
Well... Let's say that in the future we could move to the moon, but because these companies have mining stakes, the property is all taken up by mining companies, so we can't move to the moon. Would you be upset that you couldn't move to the moon? The opportunity to move to the moon.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be upset. I would, because I would want the same liberties that, you know, that the corporations have taken.
I mean, ultimately that is the lame version, is that like, well, if a company is allowed to mine on the moon, they're allowed to stake a claim on the property. And so we're selling the moon for reals this time.
Yeah.
What happens if they mine so much that the moon loses mass and then eventually will crash into the earth because they've taken so much mass off of it and added it to the earth.
Yeah, no, I get it. But that's so hypothetical. I mean, that's like, you know, that's like my daughter asking me, you know, hey, you know, what would, you know, I've met two guys and I want to marry both of them. They both proposed and one is an elf and one is a dwarf. And which one would you prefer that I marry? I mean, there's no foundation behind the question, you know, versus, hey, Steve and Jake both asked me to marry him. You know, what do you think I should do? That's how I see those questions.
Yeah.
In comparison, there's nothing that I can ping for relevance there.
Yeah.
You know, until
it's too late.
Yeah. Until it's too late. Man, Blue, it's Willie. I know it's late, but I gotta ask you, man. This is going down tonight. I gotta know. Would you rather? That's always probably gonna be the issue until there's some good factual, you know, stuff to back it up. Which is why I really latched onto that. Who's the guy you were talking about that was doing this tour that got canceled?
Oh, Stephen Greer. I think that out of all the people in the world that I think are actually doing that are doing things that prove that they care about humanity, he's one of the only people that I think are alive today that are actually doing things that I believe in for the future of humanity. I think that he's trying to say, hey, aliens are real, not to shock anybody, but to get people ready for preemptively be like, hey, we have to include this into our future lawmaking because when we say we own property, does that mean even in the space above us, the air above us, the ground below us, the spatial dimensions within us that we can't get to? You know, I mean, like, just for lawmaking, we need to join the universe and say and have the perspective that.
Yeah, right. So he's got it. He understands. He's playing by the rules, right? He's reining it in so that you know, the average citizen can form an opinion based on the facts that he's presenting. Like, that speaks to me, right? If I own 25 acres of farmland in Kansas, and I go and I listen to this guy speak, and he says, "Hey, Blue, here's something you ought to think about. Have you ever thought about, you know, 4 miles, you know, 4,000 miles up from your space, you know, from your 25 acres? Do you own that? Can people not fly through that? You know, if there's a meteorite or whatever, something in orbit around the earth, around, you know, so that speaks to me and makes a lot more sense. And I think, my point is that he's playing the game, and he's got his arguments formulated so that, he can speak to the average person, you know, and his point will come across. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, yeah. Dude, he has the best UFO documentary out there. It's called Unacknowledged. And then this documentary now is called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. I think it's just worth watching whether you believe in aliens or not, just for the perspective of whether you believe in them or not. We need to start writing them into our laws, because we are a part of a bigger community. So like, you know, owning the sun, I think that's a good parallel of like, hey, we pulled plasma out, you know, the sun will be 3 days less of life because of it, but we'll never see those 3 days, you know, humans won't be alive then. So it doesn't matter. I'm like, well, it does matter.
So why can't you argue that and say, where was it going with that? You know, this may sound ridiculous, but it really doesn't matter. Why can't we write aliens into our laws? Like, who cares? It's not a big deal. It's never going to happen or whatever. Why don't we, you know, what do you care if they're written into our laws?
Well, it's a weird thing because we can't even, our laws are riddled with problems with even, like, you know, same-sex marriage, abortion, these little tiny details that mean a lot to some people and mean nothing to people that don't have experience with it, you know? So like,
yeah. So, I would go back to the property piece, you know, that the whole topic, you know, revolves around, and I'm really questioning from the get-go. I've been questioning how does it make any sense that people are selling stars and plots on the moon and probably Mars, other,
right,
for capital gain? You know, I'm sure they're paying their income taxes on that revenue, you know, whatever, that's all well and good, but
they don't own it.
I guess I just don't get that. Like, it's like selling, it's like selling marketing, basically. Okay, I'll sell you this piece of paper.
Yeah.
This marketing that says you own this plot, even though, you know, 20 years from now, 40 people might own this same plot. There's no tangible, piece that goes with that.
They do. That's the next thing is quantum property.
What's quantum?
Just, hey, I want to sell you the dimensions that exist within your body, that, you know, like, or hey, I'm selling you property that exists in the White House, but is so small that we'll never see it.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell you some electrons from the White House.
So last thing, and then I'll shut up, but what, so I mean, so what do you think about that, though? What do you think about? I mean, is that?
I think that the pursuit of happiness, and I know the pursuit of happiness, got mixed too hard into, I can make my money however I want, even if that money hurts other people. You know. That's
It's kind of like a melting pot of what, like capitalism, freedom of speech, and something else, right?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. You know, like anytime a listen, I don't want everything regulated to a point that they're, you know, because that's all corrupt. Or let's say it's not corrupt and it's the best version of regulation. I think that there are too many regulations that don't apply to everything because the words are too specific and the world is not, right? So then this interpretation of these laws becomes the problem. And we don't even have a universal language. So obviously the next step for humanity might be to be one nation, you know.
I love that. I think you and Wade should talk about that sometime. What I really liked about that was there's not a universal language, right? And then the whole, you know, one nation type, what would you call that? Like a Star Trek economy or culture.
Yeah, right. Like we have to be a planetary society in order to go forward. And we're.
Yeah, that's it. That's, you just said it. That's exactly it. So that's what you would call a planetary society. And how on earth could that possibly work would be my argument. but I love it. Yeah, I think that makes, I like that a lot.
I know. And like until that happens, like, sure, everyone's afraid of New World Order, one world government, but it's like that needs to happen.
Oh, not just you. You're the only not everyone's afraid of that.
Do you think Wade went poop or to bed?
He's probably sleeping. He can hear us, though. I know he can hear us.
Yeah.
All right, we can wrap it up if you want.
Well, yeah, we still have a little bonus afterwards. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I understand that I have irrational fears, but I know that I have irrational hopes that I think are rational in that the universe is so big that we are too dumb to join it. The way that we treat each other, just take your neighbor, for example, the way that you treat your neighbor. Oh, I'm nice. Oh, I said hi. Oh, I gave them a Christmas basket. Most people don't do those things. Whether, you know, like most people aren't nice to their neighbors. And that's fine. But
Don't you think that there's underlying tones there that for the most part, that's self-indulgent. I think it all boils down to something really simple, and that's about, you know, self-preservation. And that comes with, you know, mental health is a big part of that. And I think mental health stems with, you know, the golden rule, which is what you just talked about, right? I'm nice to my neighbor. Well, how many people really think about, you know, their neighbor's perception, or do they really fall back on, boy, I really feel good, I'm having a great day. You know, I bet that has to do with how I treated my neighbor this morning. So I don't know. I think self-preservation is ultimately at the core of most, it drives a lot of behavior and, you know, interaction.
It's weird because, you know, I want to be nice to people. And then a lot of people I meet, I end up going like, well, Not that I'm better. That's not what it's about. But they're not on the level of who I want to hang out with. And so it's
But start at the very beginning. Like, where did that impulse come from to be nice? It's because that, you know, there's scientific garbage behind that. Like, it releases endorphins that make you feel good.
Because, yeah, that it is a selfish act to be nice to your neighbor. That I got you some peanut butter crackers. I didn't know peanut butter was going to kill you because you were allergic, but I tried to be nice.
Exactly. So I think it seems like you take it, like I take it, personally, I take it like 2 or 3 steps and that's it. I'm like, and I think you take it about 40 steps really, really fast. And so you're at step 39 and 40 talking about things that I think it seems like it takes a lot of energy to come to those conclusions.
I know, dude.
I don't know. That's just an observation.
No, I know it's right. I mean, you know, that's true
too. Sorry guys, man. I think my blood sugar like dropped to a point where like I was just sweating. I had to lay down for a second. Let's wrap this episode up. I think you guys pontificated on a bunch of stuff, and I think it was very interesting
stuff.
What did you do about your blood sugar? Did you eat something?
No, I got something in the oven now, but. I'm still like I'm not feeling great.
Can you eat some candy? Do you have any candy?
Oh shit, I do.
Do that. See what happens.
There's a balloon on the floor.
No, that's a cat.
Man, yeah, I get real panicky when shit like that happens to me where I feel weak.
Yeah, man. Like I've just been sweating and you were both right. It's like a balloon and a cat.
I'll tell a story about one time that happened to Willie while you eat your candy, Wade. It was after a choir performance in high school, or maybe not a choir performance.
Oh, no, it was. Yeah.
It was choir. And I thought it was either that or a play that you were in, but so a choir performance. And then we met out in the parking lot and I think maybe we smoked a couple cigarettes or whatever, but we were just talking about whatever. And Willie out of nowhere just started talking really fast. And it was like, he was talking like backwards or something. So this is kind of what it sounded like. And like, what is, well, you can see my hands, but the listeners can't, but it sounded like, so he did that for like a couple minutes and then he would just stare and he thought that he was having a conversation. Like he thought he was being, you know, just having a conversation, like whatever we were talking about, and it came out of nowhere. And so we asked him like, are you all right? What are you doing? Cause at first, the first time we thought like he was kind of joking around, I think there was 3 or 4 people there. And then he did it 3 or 4 more times. And then we're like, what do we need to call someone? Do you need an ambulance? Do you need a hospital or whatever? And I think he was so, you can tell your side, Willie, but it felt like at the time that you were super frustrated because in your head, you thought you were having a conversation, like saying like, no, I'm fine. Don't call an ambulance or I'm just tired or wore out or something like that. But it was complete gibberish. And I don't know what was that? What was that about? Like, Did you think that you were making sense, like that we could understand you?
Well, I used to have, I've had migraines my whole life, and I've had panic attacks without knowing what panic attacks were. And I think I had one of those migraines that you seen that girl that there were a couple women that it's happened to publicly. One was a Miss Universe and one was a news reporter.
Oh, yeah.
Where they basically like are having a migraine that affects their brain functionality.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what was happening. I thought you were talking about the time that I had a panic attack after after a choir concert where I actually like it got so bad that I like passed out and I was actually ODing on what's that safe as coffee?
Ritalin. No, not Ritalin. It's
a caffeine pill.
Yeah. Yeah. Nodos.
Something like that. But it's not that though, but I didn't know you could OD on caffeine and I was not sleeping.
So that it is the same time, but that now granted that's been 25 years ago, so I could be remembering it completely wrong. But you did that. You definitely did that.
And I went to the hospital and they told me that I just OD'd on caffeine pills, and the story got out in high school that I OD'd. And there were so many people that were giving me shit like I OD'd on drugs. And I was like, dude, I didn't fucking
wait, know. Wait, no. So, like, I remember you telling me the story and, like, you thought that you were insane. And you...
I thought that I...
were, like, thinking in your head, like, oh, no, here's what it was. Not to be anti-PC or whatever, but, like, you thought you were retarded.
I thought I turned retarded.
And you thought, like... Yeah, you thought like, oh my God, I'm retarded. This is what it's like to be retarded. I'm going to exist like this.
I can't communicate. Like, I know what I want to say, but I can't say it.
Yeah.
But like my tongue swelled up.
I didn't remember that you passed out, but that would make sense.
This is insane. I've never heard the other side of this. I've only heard it from Willie's point of view, and I always thought it was like in his head, but like you actually witnessed this.
Yeah. Have you ever seen videos of people speaking in tongues?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Like the Baptist church or whatever.
That was exactly what it was like, but he was getting upset because we didn't understand him.
I remember that frustration because it was, I think it was you, Jill, and Kim, right?
I don't know. I know there was three or four of us there, but I don't remember who it was. I was just freaked out.
I remember when my dad met me at the hospital.
So crazy.
Like the first word that I could say, I was trying to say stuff and I couldn't say anything. And then I finally said, fuck. And then like, I think that I freaked out that I said that in front of my dad. And then I started laughing, but it was like the first word that I meant to say.
I had to talk to him when he came in because I was sitting in the waiting room and he came in and he said, what's going on? I said, I can't remember what I think I said. He's really tired or something.
Oh yeah. Dude, I worked a 40-hour job that week and I had so many finals that I just didn't sleep. I wasn't sleeping at all. I think I got like 1 to 2 hours a night of sleep the whole week. And then I had a choir concert and passed out afterwards and had a panic attack when I woke up and whatever. Yeah. OD'd on caffeine.
All right. Let's end this episode and then pick it up in the bonus. This has been weird. I'm sorry that I fucking bailed on it. I still don't feel great, but Blue, We got to plug your, like, well, yeah, here's the thing, because you have a t-shirt company, but I don't know how to help you because it's like mostly like kind of for lack of a better term, wholesale, right? Like, it's like, it's not something that somebody can just like go online and like buy a t-shirt.
No.
So like in what way would you plug your company for like an end user?
I would say if you've got a special event, or if you're doing a fundraiser. We did a huge pivot over the past week. So we're doing a lot of online stores now, and we do the entire online store for our customers. So we build an online store, the e-commerce site. We even partner to build a marketing piece that you can send out. So, you know, Wade and Willie have an idea. They're like, you know what? We want to raise money for this fund or whatever it is. Or we just want to make some extra money, whatever it is. And we come up with a design, or we can help develop the design as well. But then we meet, we have a Zoom meeting. We talk about it. Then we launch a store on your behalf. You market that store to your network, and then we take all the orders, and then we fulfill the orders on an individual level. So, you know, you sell 250 t-shirts or whatever, we ship those using USPS or UPS. We collect all the money. It's a point of sale site, so you pay with a credit card, and then you know, Wade and Willie say, well, we want to make $5 a t-shirt, so we set the price point accordingly, or we want to donate $5 a t-shirt, so we set the price point accordingly, and then we cut you a check when it's said and done.
So we are okay, basically Blue, you've, doing it. Yeah, go on.
You've done a horrible job at selling your business.
Go on.
Well, so like, we have listeners, they're not corporations. Is there any way for them to support you in any way?
Yeah, if they're like I said, I mean, if they're interested in doing generating some extra revenue to support themselves while they're laid off, partnering with their local community to come up with a design or something like that, or just a concept, we've stepped in so that we can develop the concept, help them to pitch that and market it. You know, your dad's having a, you know, 75th birthday party in April. We're probably not the right company for you, because you want, you know, 2 dozen t-shirts to send your friends and relatives to celebrate. We're going to be more on the volume side. So, you know, 250, 300 pieces minimum, at a really solid price point, you know, $5 to $7 a shirt.
So if you're listening to this and you have some sort of event or company where you need like 200 t-shirts, that's your bread and butter, right?
Yeah, but we partner to benefit the customer too.
And also on the small scale, you know, if you want to support local business in Colorado, you can go to otpshirts.com and they have a few shirt designs that are available that support community, like a small community of businesses that are.
We built a Colorado Strong site, and we're all, $10 from every sale goes to the Colorado COVID Relief Fund. And we're,
well, so that's that's the whole thing. Like, if we'll link it somewhere. I don't know where we exist, but like the important thing is the website, right? otbshirts.com.
Yeah. Yeah, that you can.
It stands for out of the blue
shirts.
.com.
Yeah, good one.
So go to otbshirts.com if you're in this area, and yeah, and you're doing like, I don't know how this face mask thing is working or whatever.
Yeah, so that's in your hood. Bella Canvas has a huge manufacturing facility in Los Angeles, and they shut down their t-shirt manufacturing and set up their line to do, it's the biggest in the world as far as capacity. And they set it up to produce what are they calling them? They're calling them daily face masks. They're not encouraging people to wash them and reuse them. They're saying it's their t-shirt material made into a face mask. But we're a broker of theirs. And so you can go to their website, bellacanvas.com, and buy them at retail. We're actually offering them for lower than retail costs. So if you go to our website, you can get them a little bit cheaper. Even with shipping, it's still going to be more cost effective to order through us.
What's crazy though is that like this thing that's happening is a long-term thing, and that's just something to consider. Just saying that, like,
yeah, no, I get it, and that makes a lot of sense, Willie. And think about, so just to give you an idea of the scale of this deal, they're producing 100 million of these masks a week, and we started putting in our orders on Friday, so almost a week ago, and they just started shipping today. They had so many back orders. They had over 100 million pieces back ordered from the day they launched the product. So now we've got inventory, but it took a while. And I'm sending you guys some of those just so you know. I should get them in next week so you guys will get some of those.
Yeah, we're going to score some of those masks. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Go to otbshirts.com. I don't know. Fucking buy some shit. Blue, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Willie, do you have anything to plug?
Join the jam on with two M's on YouTube. Willie Bad Movies.
What's it up to? Have you been tracking it?
We're at like a little over 70 subscribers.
Oh, God damn it. All right.
If we get 100 subscribers, we'll make some more videos.
All right. I'll keep with my, go to the Fall Out Boy Twitter, subscribe to that. Maybe there's going to be some, something. I don't know what I'm allowed to say anymore. Thanks for listening. Hey, remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.